Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello?
There you go. Yes.
Okay, awesome. Glad you can hear me.
Yeah, we're all good.
Okay, cool.
Sorry, listeners. Technical difficulties.
Indeed. But we're here. Yo, yo, yo. Sup?
What up, though?
So... how's your week been, Jay?
Lovely, man. It's all good. Nice day outside.
Yeah.
I'm not too fond of the heat, but, you know, I'm making it.
Right. Well, I'm liking the nice weather that we're having here. I, unlike Jay, do not have a deep-seated hatred of the heat. I mean, it can be uncomfortable sometimes, but... I'm okay. I'm okay with it. So, that's that.
Yes.
Detroit has finally come to spring. We're happy about that.
Yeah, I can dig it because, you know, I prefer the cold, but, you know, when it's springtime, you would want it to be pretty decent outside, right?
Yeah.
You know, anything, you know, 65, 70 maybe, you know, I'm good with that. But not anything over 70. It's too hot.
It's an age-old debate that I know. It's just you know, because I don't like being cold. So there's that. But I guess I can understand where you're coming from. It's an age-old debate. We'll probably have it again sometime on the show. So if you. Listeners, if you saw the title of today's show, just a little backstory. My father was a high school teacher for decades, and he taught here in Detroit. He taught at a few different schools, but while I was young, when I was a kid, he was teaching at Cooley High School, Cooley High. And if you're from the Detroit area, you know a little bit about the reputation that has sometimes been associated with Cooley High. And it's funny because my dad, and if you went there during the time that my dad was there and you had him as a teacher, Mr. Robinson, Big Rob, then you probably heard him say the phrase, the criminal type. People are like, oh, it's such a thug criminal type.
Isn't that a stereotype?
And so, yeah, kind of. Well, actually, most of the time, they actually were kind of the criminal type. But nonetheless, I thought it fitting to use that as a title today because we're sort of going to pick up where we left off last week and talk a little bit about the other side of what has been going on. And it really is a good question to ask, how much of the stereotypical thug criminal type label that has been put onto the Black community is actually validated? Is there any truth to that? Is there any, you know, justice to that? Is there a reason for that? Or is it just all smoke and mirrors?
You know,
yeah.
Stereotypes, they aren't nice, but to a degree they're kind of necessary because they always have some kind of truth to them. You know, nobody just has like a far-fetched stereotype. You know, they have some kind of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you should always give people the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
That makes sense. I agree. It's hard, though, right? Because, like, when you look at situations like the violence that's been going on lately against Black people in America, and let me just take a time out right here and say that we live in America. So our main focus is America. However, we know that there's stupid racist stuff that goes on all around the world. So I don't want anyone else to feel left out. Like, I literally, this past week, I don't know if you're on Facebook, then you probably saw this clip going around of a broadcast in the UK where there are these twins who were born to a white father and a mixed and Jamaican mother. And one of the twins looks like she's African-American, and one of the, or not African-American, one of the twins looks Black and one of the twins looks white. Like, the one that's fairer has fair skin, red straight hair. Like, she looks like the white heritage that is running through her veins. And the one in Black has, like, Black curly, big hair. She's got darker skin. And so they're interviewing these twins because they're something like 18 now. They're, like, almost adults or something like that. And there's a woman and a man that are interviewing them, and they're just giving, like, a little backstory. And so the lady seriously says, the one girl has, you know, Black features, dark hair, dark skin, blah, blah, blah. And the other one looks more like her dad. She's got the light skin, good on her, and red hair. Like, she literally said, good job for looking white. And
wow.
The guy who was co-hosting with her, like, gave her the side eye, like, what the heck did you just say on this international broadcast? Like, are you out of your mind? Because she honestly was like, she looks white, good on her. Like, are you kidding me? So the rest of the world, we know you're out there too being racist, but we live in America, so we talk about America. But yeah, it's hard. Like you said, Jay, stereotypes are not without at least a little bit of truth.
Right.
But we should give people the benefit of the doubt. What are can you think of any, I know this is on Johnny on the spot, but can you think of any circumstances where sort of remembering the stereotype might actually be good?
You know, I live in the neighborhood, you know. I know that, you know, I'm not just supposed to be, like, just walking, you know, down the street, you know, in the dark especially. You know, there's certain times you're not supposed to do stuff in certain neighborhoods because, you know, people do steal. People will rob you, you know. It's, you hate to, because, you know, I've never been robbed before, knock on wood. But, you know, I know I'm not going to just be out here just doing any and everything because, you know, it can happen.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Sometimes it's better to, you know, be the safe and know that than to be sorry and get jacked.
Right. So, with that, I guess, you know, that's right. There are some stereotypes that can help you. For instance, I went to a majority university. I was an RA. I already had heard the stereotype that white kids drink far more recklessly in most cases than anybody else. So when I got there, I had that stereotype in the back of my mind, but then witnessing the ratio between the ratio of the kids stumbling through the doors and being passed out and having to go to emergency because of alcohol poisoning and that type of thing, that it was a little bit different. So cases like that where I said, you might not want to go drinking with those people that you just met because it might get crazy, that might have been a stereotype that protected some people. And that's a negative stereotype. Like, I'm sure white people in America don't want to be stamped with the label of we are more likely to kill ourselves drinking alcohol, but statistics do kind of lend themselves to that stereotype. So there's a little basis of truth there. Well, with that, what say you of the way that we've been responding to the society on black crime in America lately? Is it helping? Is it hurting?
It's doing both.
Mm-hmm.
Both together and apart, I guess you could say. It's helping because people are noticing, you know. We're not just taking it lying down, you know. We wreaking some havoc, you know. The police forces and, you know, all of them, they got to come in. They got to pay us some attention. You know, we're not just going to take it lying down. But it's hurting because when people that have misplaced anger and they don't know how to control themselves and they do stuff like mess up their communities and they, you know, do stuff. And some people just do stuff because they're angry. Or some people just do stuff because everybody else is doing it. So that doesn't hurt. I mean, that doesn't help. So, you know, on one hand, it hurts us because people are noticing. And like you said last week, the revolution will be televised.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other end, it's like, you know, what was I about to say? It's just not helping that we're tearing up our own communities, and it's not helping that we're not actively, or I'm trying to figure out how I want to say it. It doesn't help that we're ineffective in some areas because we're just doing things for the wrong reasons or doing the wrong things.
Right. Right. No, I agree.
So, okay. From the standpoint of just the last incident, you know, what we know about the Freddie Gray incident and how people handle it, what would you say about that?
As you guys know, I am a pacifist. And that being said, I never support violence, meaningless, and most of the time otherwise. I tend to believe that violence is never the answer. However, I do understand that we live in a world where violence is sometimes necessary. War is sometimes inevitable and even necessary. Civil war is sometimes inevitable and even necessary. However, those are organized instances of violence for the most part. I don't want to get into a debate about, you know, war and wartime, but that is somewhat controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Rioting in the street violently and looting has a distinct lack of finesse that doesn't sit well with me. Because at the same time that we are drawing attention to the cause, we're almost drawing attention away from it and more so to the stereotypes that are being fortified about us and to the individuals that choose to go that route. So if you have, for instance, we saw it in media, there were thousands of people that were peacefully protesting, but very few outlets actually highlighted those. what were they all highlighting? The very same few, you know, few people that decided to break the law by riot, by
right.
destroying public and private property and looting. And so
right.
that is where... Go ahead.
It seems like we're at the Martin versus Malcolm,
mm-hmm.
you know, forefront. Where it's like, are we trying to coexist with everybody and we want them to understand? Or are we just like, you know, y'all don't understand us anyway. We just gonna make this statement, you know?
Right.
And it's like in the sense of we don't like y'all anyway because y'all don't like us, so we just trying to make this statement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it almost don't matter what the perception is anyway.
Right.
You know, so that's one thing, but then you have the you know, we want you all to respect the situation and respect that Black Lives Matter too, you know. So it's
right.
like, I don't know, I feel like each other's movement, the they hurt each other
mm-hmm.
in a way. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I don't know if that's
no,
going to
no,
make
I,
sense
I,
to the
I,
listeners, but that's how I kind of feel, like each movement kind of hurts each other, takes a little steam from it.
Yeah, I agree. And even furthermore, we're not, like, if it almost, so we have the Martin versus Malcolm, but even a little bit, there's a little Marcus in there because you have some people, it's like, we're not going back to Africa. So you might want to think before you destroy the country that we're living in. You know what I mean? Like, you need to decide.
Especially where
like,
we have to dwell.
Only, right, exactly. Like, you're in your neighborhood. You might want to rethink burning it down because, trust me when I say, they will not welcome you in their neighborhood. So it
right.
also sheds a little light on the whole idea that we need to take better care of our community anyway, put our money back into our community anyway. But then when something like this happens, yes, an overwhelming sense of helplessness. But there's something to be
right.
said about not letting that feeling push you to working against yourself. And
right.
but at the same time, will they hear nonviolence? Is the whole, it's like by any means necessary might be necessary because they don't seem to hear the peaceful route, and
right.
that's where the grand debate comes in.
Right. So,
will it take civil war?
All right. As far as you know, what I believe, like the show is about, the whole, what do we need to do? What should we
mm-hmm.
do? What should we be doing? As a people, just. I guess it's never going to be right. It's never going to be fully perfect, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always going to be that, you know, he's black. We're always going to have that label on us. He's black, she's black. Sorry for all the, you know,
right.
I'm all for equality, gender equality. Okay. So, you know, with that being said, it's like, how do we not supposed to run and play scared, but how do we keep ourselves out of this situation? And that when it,
yeah.
it, that's kind of like our call to action as far as our own community. You know, what do we need to do? I remember a preacher, you might remember that day, but he was talking about, after his message, of course, he preached the word before, but, you know, after he just, you
mm-hmm.
know, He was talking about how long it takes for different cultures, how much it takes for their money to go outside of their community. You know,
right.
some takes days, and ours takes, like, hours after we get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our money is out of our community. That's one of the things we need to work on, and it's hard because, you know, I'm the type that is like, I want the best deal. I want quality. You know, I can try to support my community, but if they're not, you know, giving a quality product, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. We need to be better as far as our money, but at the same time, we need to be better at going about our business, you know, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
What would you say about what do we need to improve on?
I would say that we need to improve on cohesiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if many of our listeners kept up on this, but the few things that we try to come together with as a people group, like when we had the blackout on Black Friday, it wasn't largely publicized, but there was a significant dent in Black Friday revenues because of the people that striked. But we can't be cohesive enough to keep something like that going, to say, okay, you know what, we've had enough. We are going to all come together and do something that will better our situation here. So cohesiveness is the biggest thing. Getting everybody on the same page and saying, you know what, it's going to be inconvenient. It may be difficult. It may take me a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I do believe in the cause, so I'm just going to do whatever we decide as a people group to do. And then having conversations. I think that we as a people are bad at having conversations. I think that the stereotype for, like, the mad black woman, the strong black woman, sort of goes for our entire race. We sort of have a very
emotional
response.
We don't communicate very well.
Exactly. We're really good at emotional responses, but as a community, we are very, very poor at sitting at a table and having a conversation. So
better
communication.
And beefed out, I guess. And, you know.
Exactly.
Becoming an issue. We hold grudges, you know, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talk about, like, the business aspect, you know, because it's like if we don't respect ourselves and look out for ourselves, it's like how are they going to perceive us if we don't support ourselves?
Exactly.
So that adds to the whole, you know, Black Lives Matter, I guess you say.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, because money, you know, money is the root of all evil, and money, you know, has a big factor. So if, you know, we aren't stewards over our money and our economics, you know, they're not going to respect us. That's even more reason for them not to. Public perception, public opinion.
Yeah, like us understanding that if we were to support our own community, we wouldn't even have to worry about whether or not they wanted to support us. Speaking of people outside of our people group, we would be self-sustaining. It's like we would be, you know how in Christianity, Christians are in this world but not of this world. People groups that survive really well in societies like ours where it could be a big melting pot or a big toss salad, that's what they do. We are in this country but not of this country. They hold on to their cultural values, their cultural principles. They support their own. It's like the Asian American population. They are in America, but they are definitely not of America, and they don't need anybody else to support them because they are supporting themselves. They are holding on to their culture. They are putting their money back into their own businesses, and they are employing themselves. So it really doesn't matter to them whether or not the people in power are giving them any resources or money or anything like that, because on a large scale, they're supporting themselves. They're saying, okay, you guys can do what you want. We're going to educate ourselves. We are going to pay ourselves. We're going to have our own businesses. We're going to put our money back into our own communities, and we're going to hold each other up. And that's what they do.
Right.
Now, some may say that that goes against the whole idea that America was built on, excuse me, but come on. In theory, America was built on equal man. So I think the basis of America is pretty much out of the window anyway. Maybe
right.
we should take maybe we should take a few pages out of their playbook.
Yep. And like another issue. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Another issue, or not issue, but another thing is like you can't say, like we talked about this last week, you know, how just because, like, you know, a youth at some point during an incident may be in a wrong, you know, he doesn't deserve to die for it, you know,
mm-hmm.
for being, you know, a teenager, you know, making a mistake or whatever, you know, whether he's under the influence or whether he stole something or, you know, period.
Right.
With that being said, you know, it's sometimes you have to say that he shouldn't have. That's that whole, you know, I had debate with a couple of people about this. Like, yes, he didn't deserve to die, and yes, it was a bad, you know, thing. But it's like sometimes some of these things shouldn't have even happened. And it's like, what do we need to do to make sure that our kids are in the best situation to survive? That we're in the best situation to not even be in that, you know, situation. Because I'm a good guy, but, you know, something like that could happen to me, you know. I
mm-hmm.
like to stay out of trouble. I like to stay out of trouble.
Right.
But, you know, so if something like that could happen to me who tries to stay out of trouble, you know, it can happen to somebody who doesn't. So what do we have to do to stay out of that or try as hard as we can to stay out of that situation?
We have to understand. Sometimes you have to understand. Shout out to
you just got to understand.
You just got to understand that we live in America, knucklehead. Listen, ain't nobody looking out for you. So you need to make better
right.
decisions. You have to make better
exactly.
decisions. You can't go for a joyride and have your dad and uncle, who are the district attorney, the district prosecutor, get you out of the situation.
Right.
Like
get you, what did he get, probation or something?
Right. Like, yeah. Like, you can't. So you have to understand what you're working with. Unfortunately, the odds are sort of stacked against you. You have to know that
right.
and behave accordingly. Nobody said life was fair, but if you know the game and you know that it's not fair, then it seems to me that you should already know what you need to do to survive. It's not a surprise anymore. It's not like
hey.
It's not like we're in Africa and they just came to our shores and started taking people. No, like, it's been hundreds of years. You know that it's stacked against you. You know that the playing field is not level. Seems to me you should be looking for those dips in the playing field now. So if that means,
hey.
Yeah, you want to get up at midnight and walk to the corner store, but it's probably not a good idea, then you better go to the kitchen and get some water out of the faucet because that's the world we live in.
Hey. Yeah. And this is more than a notion, but, you know, family
yeah.
and it takes a whole village to raise a child. Stuff like that
mm-hmm.
should have a little bit more emphasis and importance
mm-hmm.
in our society because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, stuff like that can, you know, if we could cut it off at the pass, you know, before it becomes a problem, that would, you know, help us out a lot. But,
yeah.
you know, that's the final word, you know, because we're about to go. That's our time for today.
It is.
It always seems to go by so quickly, but.
It does.
That's the way it be.
That's the way it be. Well, thanks for listening in. We'll see you.
Indeed.
Same time, same place next week.
Yes, indeed. I have.